this dialogue between Jesus and the Jews raises the question that is most pervasive throughout the gospel, and that is the issue of the Jews. Are the Jews us, or are the Jews them? My conclusion is that in the gospel as a whole, Jesus is always addressing the audience of the story as Jews. So the Jews are us, not them. The gospel is addressed to Jews. And the invitation of the story then is for every member of the audience to identify themselves as Jews. Now that matters a lot in terms of how this story is told. The Jews then, when you introduce, you know, the Jews came to him. The Jews is not in any sense a name to be pronounced with any degree of distance. It's not the Jews or anything like that. It is rather the Jews. It's us. And so it's very important in terms of the dynamics of this story that you introduce this as a story that is addressed to us. And so this initial question of the Jews to Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" is not a question out of hostility. It rather is a question with which every listener can identify. That's its function. It's to raise the question that everyone in the audience is asking. Now, this dialogue comes immediately following the Good Shepherd discourse and is connected, as we will see, thematically with that discourse. That discourse follows the healing of the man born blind, in which Jesus, after this incredible miracle and transformation of this man's life, addresses the Pharisees. Now, the audience is addressed as the Pharisees, and Jesus makes in this dialogue an appeal to the audience to become symbolically in their identity his sheep. So he addresses the Pharisees describing his sheep and his relationship to the sheep. It's a highly sympathetic relationship. It's a relationship in which the audience is invited to identify themselves as Jesus' sheep. But the question that has been present throughout the whole gospel is Jesus the Messiah? And here the question is explicitly asked, because every time that Jesus is asked that question, either indirectly, as is generally the case, or directly, earlier in the gospel, he talks around it. In this case, he is more direct. So this question is not an alienating question for the listeners. That is, we know that Jesus is the Christ, but they are still asking the question. No, the function of this question is to ask for the listeners the question that everybody is asking. Now, Jesus' response. It first of all is, you know, "I've said it to you, I've spoken to you, I've said in various ways that I am the Christ, and you've not believed." Now, once again, this is a statement to the audience, to the listener, as ones who have not believed earlier in the story. So the audience is addressed as those who have not believed that Jesus is the Christ. This is a sign of the identity of the audience and of where they are at this point in the story. So once again, it's not a description of them, somebody else. It's a description of the identity of the audience and of the listeners. The next reference is to the works, which point to Jesus' identity as the Messiah. The most immediate is the work of healing the man born blind and of the transformation of his life. But there are all the stories that have preceded this of the miracles that Jesus has done, the signs of his identity. And so this is a reference then to all those signs. The reason that Jesus identifies then as the reason that you have not believed is that you are not one of my sheep. This once again raises the question of the audience's identity, of their spiritual identity. It's negative rhetoric, and it is an invitation implicitly to the audience to change their identity and to become one of Jesus' sheep, as has been present in the earlier shepherd discourse. The description then names what it means to be one of Jesus' sheep and the benefits that are present, the relationship of intimacy and supremely the gift of eternal life, which Jesus offers and gives to his sheep. That's the promise for every believer. Everyone who believes in Jesus will be held in Jesus' hands and protected. The motif of their not being snatched away is a reference back to the motif of the wolves coming and snatching away the sheep, which happens when they are not cared for by the shepherds who abandon them, which is a clear reference to the leaders of Israel who have abandoned the people of Israel. It may well be a reference to what happened at the time of the Jewish War, and it may also be a reference to what happened with the chief priests who, after the destruction of the temple, have disappeared, basically through no fault of their own. That is, the Romans destroyed the temple and the place where the priests had their life. But there were very, very painful things that happened during the time of the war in terms of the leadership of the religious community who led them into the war and into the disaster that was the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and significantly the destruction of the people. You know, tens of thousands taken into slavery, the country decimated. So Jesus' promise here as the one who transcended those dynamics for the people who are hearing this story in the 90s, Jesus' promise of eternal life is a promise that resonates with the needs of the people of Israel who have lost so much in as a consequence of the war. So the promise of Jesus to protect and care for and his flock, his sheep, is at the end of the discourse based on the power of the Father. And the concluding statement then, I and the Father are one, is the next step in belief in Jesus. Messiah, Son of God, one who is one with the Father and therefore has not just the role of Messiah, but the role of being God's presence, first in Jesus' life and now in the telling of the story. So the invitation at the end of this story is to consider seriously this relationship between Jesus and God, and that Jesus is one with the Father. This is a story that is addressed to everyone who is searching both for understanding of the character of Jesus and who is seeking life and wholeness and protection. So I'd invite you to tell this to your listeners as Jews who are invited then into this intimate relationship with Jesus.